our biggest hurdle was trying to get students to engage and trying to intervene with them when outreach was completely virtual. And honestly, we're all a little tired of everything being virtual.
Yeah.
So that was definitely our biggest hurdle. But our biggest win is that this semester, we are seeing a large comeback in our tutoring numbers.
You're listening to Student Success Heroes, a podcast produced by Engineerica Systems. I am your host, Janelle Connor, and for this two-part interview, I'm speaking with another Student Success and Learning Center professional, Casey Bell, coordinator for the Carol A. Tate Teaching and Learning Center at Southwestern Michigan College, and founder of the Learning Center Professionals Discord server. Casey, I would like to begin by talking a little bit about your center, college, and staff. Then maybe we can jump into things that have impacted your operations during the pandemic and how you were able to hold things together. Can you tell us a little bit about your center and staff?
Sure. We have about 30 tutors at any given time. So we're a kind of medium-sized tutoring operation at a small rural community college in Southwest Michigan.
Do you have a lot of students?
Enrollment's a little wonky right now because of the pandemic. I want to say we're at 1,800 students this semester, something around there. We have had up to almost 3,000 students since I've been here in a semester, but enrollment kind of shifts based on what's happening in the world.
That's understandable.
We generally help about a third of our student population, usually right around 500 to 1,000 students a semester come and see us.
That's a lot. That's really good.
Yeah.
Can you describe your support services or your center and how those align with your institution's mission, vision, or values?
We offer virtual and in-person, in a normal time, tutoring and academic support for all of our students. Our college was founded on the principle of knowledge for all, and that's really the idea that drives our center and drives me. I truly believe that education is a right and not a privilege, and that everyone deserves to have access to a quality education. But I also recognize that college isn't necessarily a given for all students. And so we're here to support students who might have not done a math problem in a long time and they're stuck and they can't move past it. Or maybe they have math anxiety. We're here to help a lot of our adult students who are returning to college after entering the workforce for a while. We have dual enrolled high school students who are trying to navigate college while also being in high school. We have a large population of different students, and so we try to make an equitable and accessible place for students to come and get whatever assistance they might need with whatever classes they're taking.
That's awesome. Can you describe your setup, your layout, and the flow of your center? When they come to campus, which I know isn't happening right now.
We actually have two centers. So we have our main campus in Dowagiac, Michigan, and then we have a satellite campus in Niles, Michigan, and we have a teaching and learning center on each campus. The one on our main campus in Dowagiac is in the back of the library. It's an open computer lab. So there's computers all along the walls, and then there's tables set up in the middle, and our tutoring staff sits at the entrance of the wide open room. Generally, when they come back towards us, they enter, it's a wide open walkway and are greeted right away. And then there's a lot of different places where students can work independently. We do tutoring just in the open area there. So there's a great level of white noise that's really kind of lovely to work to. Niles, it's very similar, but just a little bit on a smaller scale. There are computers. There are, I think, five tables in the middle where students can work independently or with tutors, and it all happens there in the open space. It's a really welcoming environment, I think. It's not intimidating. There are always people in there working, so you don't have to worry about someone singling you out if you have nerves or about getting tutoring or getting help.
Yeah, that helps a lot to have a real open feel. So do your tutors make appointments with students, or is it all just open walk-in times?
We do both. So students can make appointments online using Academia, or they can drop in and just see if anyone's available. It's pretty rare that all of our tutors are booked all of the time. So there are usually some tutors available for drop-in. They may have to wait a few minutes until they finish up with a student, but we try to be accessible in both ways for those students that want to plan ahead, especially since we're a community college. We have just over 300 residence halls on campus. So not many of our students live on campus. A lot of them have to travel to us. So traveling with no guarantee of someone being available isn't really great for them. They like to be able to make an appointment, but then the students that are on campus and just have a quick question after class can also pop over and get help.
Great. And you said you were offering virtual services before the pandemic. How did that work?
Yeah, so those were appointment only. It's much harder to do virtual drop-in. Any student could choose online tutoring, online writing consultation, online resume services with their tutor. And then we would meet with them via Zoom. We would just email them a link ahead of time and meet in the Zoom room and offer tutoring. So we were actually pretty well suited once the pandemic started that we had started that in 2018. And so we didn't have to have a huge shift. All of my tutors were already trained in virtual. Many students had never used it. It wasn't wildly popular before the pandemic, but at the very least, we were ready to go and we could easily train the students on using the technology and getting them comfortable.
That's great. You definitely had a leg up when it came to things. I know there were several centers that had a lot of issues trying to figure out how to do this. And I know that your school has been, and you individually have been instrumental in helping some other people. And we'll get into that a little more as we move along.
Yeah, we felt pretty well prepared, or I guess as prepared as you can be because of this, because we implemented this a while ago. It was a really fortunate thing. As much as my staff kind of rolled their eyes and did not want to participate in the online training and doing this, we were all pretty grateful that we did it a couple years ago so we didn't have to try and learn it on the fly.
Yeah. And we have been through a lot this last year. So there was a lot of good, bad, and ugly. And I wanted to talk through some of the more major events and maybe highlight some of those challenges that you faced. Sounds like you had a few different kinds of challenges probably than most. But let's talk about your response to them, maybe some of the lessons learned, and highlight some of the big wins.
Sure. So our biggest challenge, honestly, was trying to figure out how to help students and get them to engage with us. And I think that was something a lot of centers struggled with, was the pandemic hit, we all went online, and then students stopped engaging with us. They stopped getting tutoring. A lot of our numbers had decreased pretty significantly in the spring, over the summer, and even last fall. Our biggest hurdle was trying to get students to engage and trying to intervene with them when outreach was completely virtual. And honestly, we're all a little tired of everything being virtual.
Yeah.
So that was definitely our biggest hurdle. But our biggest win is that this semester, we are seeing a large comeback in our tutoring numbers. We actually were, a year ago at this time, were significantly up versus last year. And that was even pre-pandemic for most of it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm pleased that students have really, they've shown up this semester. They've been coming. We have already over 900 sessions this semester.
Wow.
That's pretty huge. In the fall semester, I think we only did around 1,400 total visits. And the spring is never busier than the fall. So that's been our big win, is that we've tried. It's kind of been throwing a dart at a moving dartboard, but we finally hit a bullseye and we're able to reach some students and get them to start utilizing us a little more.
Great. I have two follow-up questions to that. So the first is, how did you recognize your numbers? What data were you looking at and how were you able to kind of assess that, especially going virtual?
Luckily, I don't think our college or our administration's expecting things to be like they were before. And so it was really out of my own digging and trying to figure out how the pandemic has impacted our center that I was able to see, you know, other than my tutors just going, oh, no one's doing anything. Students aren't here. Students aren't coming to appointments. They're not making appointments. But just trying to compare to previous semesters where we were at any given time, digging around in our data that we have saved from previous semesters, we track all of our center visits. And then just trying to adapt and trying to figure out how to help those students however we could. We have what we call shadow tutors in some of our math courses. It's similar to embedded tutoring where we have a tutor that goes to all of the courses, and that was a large amount of our numbers. And so with everything virtual, we were trying to figure out how our shadow tutors could help those math classes. And We still honestly haven't come up with a good answer for that. We haven't figured out how to embed us virtually in these classes other than just creating videos, introducing ourselves and letting them know where we are. Mm. Yeah, with the numbers and knowing where things are, it's really just been trying to get students to engage again in whatever way possible. Engagement went down overall, retention went down overall. And so trying to save the students we can save and get them to finish in an otherwise very stressful time has really been our focus.
What are some of the ways that you've reached out to students or advertised your available services to them, tried to engage with them?
So one of the things we've implemented was a Discord server. That was one of the biggest implementations for us that made a huge difference. When we went all virtual, everything was completely appointment-based, which works great for most students. But we have some students that just, they're not planners. They don't want to think ahead. Or maybe they just have a quick question and they don't need to book a full hour. And so we implemented this server where they can hop on and it kind of replaced drop-in for us. We advertised that pretty widely and students have started to use it pretty frequently. We also created a YouTube channel. This was a little over a year ago. It was pre-pandemic, but we really shifted some of our content of the YouTube channel to helping students be better online learners. So we were able to share videos with students via email or instructors would share them to kind of help them navigate online learning. And other outreach we did, I'm the chair of our academic intervention team. And so students that get academic warnings because they're not succeeding in their courses, I reached out to them individually, trying to figure out what I could do to help them. And then this semester, I actually reached out to all students who were repeating courses and just offered to set up regular weekly tutoring appointments for them. And that has had a really great outcome so far. And I'm hoping we see a lot of students being able to pass the courses that they're repeating that they've struggled with in the past.
Oh, that's great. And you find students are pretty receptive to a phone call that you...
Oh, I never use a phone call.
Okay.
I'm a millennial. I don't like talking on the phone. It's mostly via email, honestly. Most of my outreach is done via email and it works pretty well. Students respond, especially if you get a good subject line in there.
True.
We just try to make ourselves really as approachable and available as possible. Instructors talk about us on Moodle, our LMS system. All students are automatically enrolled in it's called a course. It's not really a course. It's a resource folder with videos and the video on how to make an appointment with us or walking them through how the appointment will work, different helpful worksheets for their math classes or different helpful things for creating citations. And so it's really accessible for students there and it's easy for them to click in the LMS since they're already there and make an appointment with us. And I think that's helped too.
Oh, that's really great. And you have a lot of faculty helping with that and telling them about it.
Yeah, we've got a really great relationship with our faculty. We're really lucky. We have a great group on this campus that all are very dedicated to student success. And so the faculty work really well with us and helping to support these students. So faculty will usually advertise our services somewhere on their LMS page. They might talk about it in class. In regular times when we have all in-person classes, I usually visit up to 100 classrooms at the beginning of the semester, just giving a quick 5-minute speech about where we are and what we do. So the faculty really do trust us and believe in us. And that honestly is our biggest piece of advertising is faculty buy-in and faculty trusting us and telling students that are struggling, hey, you've got this great resource, it's free, and here's how you can access them.
Oh, that's awesome. Has this always been the case with the faculty there? Or do you know if there's been movements or efforts to get the faculty to that point?
We're not a huge campus, so luckily there's not hundreds upon hundreds of people that I had to meet. But when I started this position in February of 2018, one of the first things I did was have town hall style meetings with the faculty in each department to ask them what our Teaching and Learning Center had done for them in the past, what worked well, what didn't, what they would like to see happen, and really to just introduce myself and tell them my ideas. That was kind of my main initiative coming in here, was talking to faculty, getting to know them, letting them get to know me. And I think that made a really big difference, is that they realized that we care about their input. We want to help them as much as helping students, and that we want to work together, not in opposition of each other or not separately from each other. I think starting off my career here in that way really set up the relationship to be symbiotic. Really, we flourish alongside the faculty, and there is a lot of trust there. Administration didn't really have to step in. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of hours of meetings. It was a lot of emails, but it's really paid off in the end for us, in that we have this great working relationship.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do they still reach out now? Do you guys...
Absolutely. I talk to faculty members often, mostly via email and Zoom now, but we have a nice small campus. I try to get out and take a walk around campus every day. So I see people. I have really strong working relationships with some of the faculty that I see often, particularly in our English department. That's where my background is. And so we can geek out about grammar together and things like that. Yeah, I talk to faculty often. I try to outreach to see, you know, what can we do to help? What ideas do they have? I also keep those lines of communication open for the tutors. I encourage the tutors to reach out to faculty directly if they have any concerns about a student or if they have a question about an assignment. And so the faculty get to know the tutors as well in that way. And I think that relationship is honestly even more important. As the faculty get to know the tutors, they can trust sending their students to us and know that they're getting quality instruction without having any issues or having any trust issues there.
Oh, wow. That's so cool that you have this relationship with the faculty. And it does sound like you did put in a lot of work to get there. So good job on your part. What are maybe some other major challenges that you've had since the pandemic, like some of your staff needs?
The biggest challenge, honestly, for the staff was that we physically saw each other all the time. We were always in close proximity. We had a lot of time to have conversations and get involved in each other's lives. And so when everyone went virtual and everyone's working from home, our center dynamic changed. We didn't get to speak to each other very often. We didn't get to have that kind of what I call water cooler time, where we can just, you know, talk about that funny thing that happened or whatever things we do in the downtime. One of the things I was able to do was we implemented the Discord server for students, and I also set one up for staff. And so we had a way to easily communicate with each other. We can ask each other questions if, you know, one of the newer tutors is struggling with an issue with technology, or if they're having a problem with a student and they can't figure out how to navigate it, they can quickly jump on and ask all of the other tutors that are working. There's a channel specifically set up for administration, so myself or my assistant coordinator can see that they have a question and we can kind of tag team it. There's also a water cooler channel, and that's where we have those kind of fun interactions where we feel like we can let our hair down a little bit more, you know, reply and funny gifts or tell jokes or share photos of our kids or our pets or things like that. It's been really nice to get to bond with them in that way. And it's actually kind of a silver lining of this kind of cloudy situation.
Yeah.
Is that generally our two centers operated very separately. So we had our Dowajak staff and we had our Niles staff. And when we all came together for trainings, they were always kind of sitting separately and they rarely interacted. And now we're kind of just one homogenous staff and they interact all with each other. It's no longer a us and them kind of thing. And so the Discord server has brought everyone together. And I really hope that's something that stays after this, that the two campuses can talk to each other a little more.
Yeah, we've had something similar at Engineerica where we all went on Slack and used it similarly and had different channels. And like we have a random channel where you can just post fun things and silly gifts, like you said, and photos of things we're doing at our homes while we're stuck at home. And we had the same outcome. We became closer as a team. I started interacting with our offsite developers so much more, and now I know them better and we interact so much more just digitally, which has been really cool for me. Now, I do miss seeing people and having those chats face to face. It's very different, but I do appreciate knowing more of the team more often now through Slack. So
absolutely.
And Discord is great. You are a big tech person, and I've seen you use this for some other things too. Are there other major technology resources that you turn to for your operations, especially to continue success with your student support?
Yeah, I do love playing around with technology. That's very true. I'm a little bit of a geek about it with my background. My job before this, I worked at a software as a service company, and I really liked to play around with that and found a bit of a passion for it. I think the biggest struggle that I face, though, and that a lot of centers face, is that we have technology needs or wants, but we don't have a technology budget, or not a large one if we do have one. So I rely pretty heavily on free technology. So that's one of the reasons that we implemented Discord, was that it's free and it's very customizable. It's a lot of fun to play with. There are a lot of bots out there to help with different things. It's easy to use, and that students, many students were already using it for gaming purposes. And so they were already familiar with it. So that was a great implementation for us. We use GoBoard as well as Zoom. GoBoard has been a really great partnership for us. It's another free tool that you can use. It has a great whiteboard for specifically for math and science. It's a very strong tool for that. It has different equations you can plug in. It just kind of gets rid of some of those limitations of doing math and science virtually. Whereas if you were in person, you could just, you know, we have mobile whiteboards you could wheel over and write on. It's so hard to write on a whiteboard with your mouse, but GoBoard has a lot more tools that you yes. can use there. We do have Zoom. We have Zoom as a campus, but all of the tutors have free accounts. That's been another free tool that we can utilize for virtual tutoring and just reaching students and being available for them. So yeah, I'm always looking for new and exciting technologies that are free. Unfortunately, there's not many free technologies out there because they cost money to implement. You know, outside of our budget for Academia, we don't have much else. But Academia has been a great tool for us too. We've been using it since 2018. And the changes that you all have made to make Academia work better for virtual tutoring has been wonderful, like being able to put our Zoom links in. It was a simple change that took out so much time for us because we were having to email students before each of our appointments to make sure they knew what their link was. And now it comes automatically via the emails when they make the appointments and the reminder emails. So it's one of those small changes that made a really big impact for us.
Yes, I'm so pleased you brought that up. I know we worked really hard to get that in place as soon as most centers ended up being online. So I'm so glad to hear that it's working well for you. Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I can tell you've made tremendous efforts to bring and keep your staff, students, and faculty members united during a tough time. Let's pause here, but when we come back for part two, I want to talk about the ways in which I've observed you not only help your own center, but how I've seen you make a huge impact and bring together a community for all Learning Center professionals. A big thank you to our listeners. Join us next time for part two of this interview. This podcast is produced by Engineerica Systems. We track everything so you can take care of your center.